Our scripture this morning is from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. John sends personal letters to seven churches in the book of Revelation. The first one is addressed to the church at Ephesus, and this is what he writes. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Please stand for our song of meditation, number 2203 in the Black Book, In His Time, 2203. Seated. And Jennifer came up for the impromptu choir. She said, I wasn't sure what we were doing. What can they do? Fire? I said, no, but they can be glad for somebody else coming. Will you pray with me? Lord, may your word illumine our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. I bet all of us can remember our first crush or our first love. Mine was Dale Stout. We were in sixth grade together at Center Street Elementary School in El Segundo, California. Dale's family also belonged to the church that my father pastored. Dale was blue-eyed, and made my heart race. There were three families in that church that had kids about the same age that would get together socially. It was my family, Dale's family, and my best friend Norma's family. One time we were at one of the family's homes, and the older kids, there were five of us between like 12 and 14, were in one of the bedrooms playing a board game that had a spinner. Now, I do not remember what board game we were playing because we weren't really playing that game, but we were using the spinner to play Spin the Bottle. And the game was a decoy in case any parents came and checked on us that we were innocently playing whatever that game was. Now, you have to get a picture of this. I said there were five of us, three boys, two girls. Now, two of the boys were brothers, and the other one was my brother. So my brother only had Norma to kiss or be kissed. I had Dale and his brother, and they had me and Norma, but Norma had three guys that could be kissed, she could kiss or be kissed by. But my eyes were only on Dale. Well, thankfully, eventually the spinner gods were good to me, and it pointed at Dale.
Now, we had decided prior, that when we started this, that when it landed on someone appropriate, that those two people would get up and go into the walk-in closet. I guess we were too embarrassed to kiss in front, but not too embarrassed to go in the closet to kiss. And so, as Dale opened the door to the closet, he hit me in the head, and I got an immediate goose egg on my head. Now, to be perfectly honest with you, I do not remember that kiss, but I do remember one of the parents saying to me, "Oh, what happened to your head?" And I lied. And I said, "Oh, we were getting another game down from the shelf, and it fell and hit me in the head." Now, I didn't mean for that to turn into true confessions this morning, but Dale was my first love. In 1531, Shah Jahan was the powerful 17th century emperor in India, and he lost his wife after 19 years. She had given him 13 children, and she died while giving birth to their 14th child. I think I would too. But he was devastated, and he went into mourning for a year. But then he started work on a magnificent tomb for her. The story has it, or legend has it, that he had taken his wife's coffin and he had put it in the middle of a big open field, and he began to build this tomb around it. He became obsessed with it and consumed with it. In fact, it took years. And after a while, he completely forgot his grief and didn't even think about his wife as this memorial began to take shape for his first love. The story has it that one day he was walking through the construction site and he banged his shin on a box, and as he was rubbing it, he was angry and he looked at it and he was upset because he wondered why such an ugly box was in this beautiful building that was being built. And so he called his workers and told them to throw the box out. He forgot that that was his wife's coffin. That tomb is the Taj Mahal. Now, I don't know if any of you have actually been there. I haven't, but we've all seen pictures of it. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous building. It's one of the wonders of the world, even. His wife is entombed there, but what started out as a memorial became so consuming that the builder eventually forgot its purpose. He forgot his first love. As Pam mentioned when she read the scripture for us in the book, from the book of Revelation, John has sent these personal letters out to seven churches. And the first one is addressed to the church at Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was one of the largest cities in the Roman Empire. It was the capital of Asia. It was a thoroughly secular city that even promoted emperor worship. Wickedness was rampant, and there were cult leaders of false religions that were being honored. And that little congregation faced that constant oppression and persecution. And the years since the Apostle Paul had founded that church, they had matured in their faith, and they'd held their own in a very dark world. In this letter that John wrote to them 40 or 50 years after its founding, he praises the church because of how far they had progressed. They had expended long hours in hard work, and they persevered in getting where they were. They had withstood the wickedness of the community around them and had endured all the hardships that came with that. We don't know exactly what the problem was for the church in Ephesus or what their first love was, but we can surmise. It's likely that they were defending themselves in a difficult context, which caused them to grow inward. They forgot why they were there. Maybe they started arguing about irrelevant details like their meeting place or their worship styles or their doctrines. They had grown uncomfortable, and they had isolated themselves from the community and from the needs, ignoring the cries of those outside their building. So John tells them that they have lost their first love, and he calls upon them to repent and to do what they did at first and to remember their first love. Pasha Zelenchenko is a member of the First Baptist Church of Bryansk, Russia, and he works with the youth group at his church along with three other churches in the city of Bryansk. A few years ago, Pasha really felt called to reach out to the youth in the community. There were many of them that had no hope, and they would stand on street corners smoking and drinking. And even the youth in his church were concerned about those other young people. There were about 50 youth in his church, in his youth group, that would get together every week for Bible study, to pray and sing together. So Pasha went to the deacons and he said, we want to do an outreach to the youth in our community. And one of the members of the deacons said, why do we want more youth? We have enough. But Pasha persisted, and they finally agreed that they could have an outreach. And so they set a date. And then the youth of the church began to pass out flyers at school and on the street corners, inviting the young people to come on that evening. And on that appointed evening, several of the youth from the community did show up, and they came in the side door and they followed the signs down the hallway and through the fellowship hall to the room that was announced that this event was going to take place. They'd actually gotten there a little early, and no one else was there except over in the middle of the room was a little babushka who was on her hands and knees scrubbing the floor, something you'll see a lot in Eastern Europe. And when she realized someone was in the room, she turned around and she saw these kind of subculture looking kids, and she said, what are you doing here? Get out. You don't belong here. And Pasha said, our church has lost its first love. It's forgotten its mission. Why did the Lord direct your predecessors to start this church here in Delaware? It was because the community needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you are situated in a particular environment here, and there are needs specific to this community. Over the past several years, and particularly this past year, you have been faithful in reaching out to meet some of those needs, and you must never forget that call. Never lose sight of your first love. But you need to stay strong and to keep your light shining in the world around you. Dr. Marion Barry is a member of the First Baptist Church of Portland, Oregon, and she's one of our delightful retired American Baptist missionaries. Marion served for many, many years in South India as a medical doctor. And in her little book, Adventures of a Medical Doctor in India, she tells exactly about how that mission got started in the early days. It developed very slowly. And in the first 8 years, only 3 people came to know the Lord. And 3 times in that period of time, our mission-sending organization almost abandoned the work there. In 1853, the annual meeting of the American Baptist Foreign Mission Society, which is now known as International Ministries, met in Albany, New York. And in front of them hung a huge map of the world, and on it were little stars that marked every mission in which our denomination was engaged in internationally. There were several stars in Burma, and there were some in China. But way down in the bottom of India, in that little triangle, there was just one lone star on the little town of Nellore, where there was a hospital located. Well, the members of that annual meeting were again contemplating closing that little mission and taking the scant resources and using them in more promising fields. Reverend Samuel Day was a pioneer American Baptist missionary to Nellore, and he had had to return to the States because of ill health, and he decided to attend that meeting in Albany. And when the discussion of the mission hospital in South India began, it was obvious that sentiment was that they should close it, and so he stood to his feet, and he pleaded passionately to be sent back after he regained his health, along with other missionaries. And he told all of those who were present of the great need of the Hindu people who had yet to hear about Jesus. Well, an intense discussion arose after that, and finally the group voted to postpone the actual vote until the next morning. That night, Reverend Samuel Smith, who was also a delegate at the meeting, and who, by the way, wrote the national hymn, America, he went to bed with a burning heart for South India and for those people because of Samuel Day's impassioned plea. And early the next morning, he got up and he quickly wrote a poem that he entitled, Shine On, Lone Star. And he got up and he read that poem the next morning to the delegates before the vote was to be taken. The poem is only 8 lines long, and it is printed in your bulletin this morning. I'm going to read it to you. Shine on, lone star. The day draws near when none shall shine more fair than thou. Thou born and nursed in doubt and fear will glitter on Emmanuel's brow. Shine on, lone star, till earth redeemed in dust shall bid its idols fall, and thousands where thy radiance beamed shall crown the Savior, Lord of all. Those words spoke to the delegates, and they voted unanimously to continue the work of that lone star in South India. 100 years later, in 1953, Marion Bear was sent as an American Baptist missionary doctor to that hospital in India. And at that time, the landscape of India was dotted with hundreds of stars because that hospital saw its ministry beyond its walls. New missionaries were sent. Funds were given to build hospitals and schools and church buildings in order to carry out all the different kinds of significant mission work. As a result, there were hundreds of thousands of baptized believers. Today, we only have 2 missionaries in South India. Not because we're not invited or allowed, but because we aren't needed. Today, there are 500,000 Baptists just in that region of India, with 30 associations of more than 500 churches, all because of that one lone star that did not see its ministry and mission as contained in that one hospital building. They never lost sight of their first love and what they were called to do. May you too, here in Delaware, be as bright as a lone star in this city. But you still have work to do. So never lose sight of your first love, because there are still those out there in need of God's saving grace. So, shine on, First Baptist. Shine on. Okay. Lord, you have called us to be light in a dark world. Help us to continue to lift up the light of Jesus Christ in this community and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 2173, Shine, Jesus, Shine. We will sing verses 1 and 3. I think I mentioned this one other time we sang this, but when Dave and I were commissioned as American Baptist missionaries to go to Europe, this was, at our commissioning, this was the song that was sung. So it has a great deal of meaning to us, too.
Free by the truth, you now bring us.
In Matthew 5, we read, "You are like light for the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid." Lord, we ask that you would take us now to be your light in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our community, and in our world. We want Jesus to shine. In his name, amen.